First Kings chapter number 19. We'll begin reading in verse 19. You can stand whenever you find your place, if you're able to this morning, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll just read three or four short verses here this morning. And you see in chapter 19, Elijah has complained to the Lord that he's the only one left. And the Lord says, Elijah, that's just your feelings and that's just your emotions. But that's not operating on the fact. I've got some folks left that still love me. And he begins to give Elijah instructions that he wants him to go and anoint others. He tells him in verse 16 to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be the prophet in his room. The word room here means in his stead, in his place. He's picking Elijah's replacement, Elisha. Verse number 19, he's obeying the word of the Lord. Verse number 19, 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I don't really just have a clever, fancy title this morning, but if you want to, we can call this, he killed his cow and burned his plow. But I'm going to talk to you just for a minute about what I see going on here in the life of Elisha, but you pray with me. Let me go back through this. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people. And they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I know what I realized this morning, and I say this often because you need to hear it often, that we have doctrinal interpretation of Scripture. We have spiritual application of Scripture. Oftentimes we have principles, and those principles never change, and often we have types. And in this, I do want to draw some spiritual application both to the saved and to the lost. And I look at this and I see that before Elijah ever gets to where Elisha is, that God has already instructed him and told him that I want you to anoint this young man, Elisha, to be the head prophet in your stead, in your room. I've got plans for him. I've got life for him. There's something I want him to do. And you see that Elijah just, he doesn't question what's going on. And in the words of my friend Oliver North, he said, I saluted smartly and charged up the hill. He just did what he was told to do. And I thank God that he was willing to do that. And I see him come and he finds this young man, Elisha, out in the field with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. A yoke means a pair. It means there were two ox that were hooked together inside of a yoke that held their necks together and caused them to be able to work together and plow, to be able to pull a plow. And there were 12 different yoke of oxen there, and here was Elisha with the 12. It's obviously there's a lot of things that are presupposed here, but obviously there was a large piece of ground with this much implements working in this field, and obviously this did belong to Elisha and to his family. It was the inheritance of God that God had given unto them. And you see him in this time and this place. And for a lost individual, or whether you're saved or not, there ought to be something that you could see here. That here's obviously a young man. He does not appear to be married, doesn't appear to have a wife or children. But here he is working in the toil of the day behind these oxen and out in the field. And the man of God comes walking along, and I do not know what has happened in the heart or in the mind of Elisha while he's working. Brother Chip, there's not a doubt in my mind that I know God was working in Elijah, because he done told Elijah, go find Elisha and anoint him. And I find that God always works in this way. When God's working on one side, he's working on the other. And I could just imagine God working on that young man in that field, and he's out there and it's hot and it's sweaty and them oxes stink. And I'm thinking, this young man's thinking, is this all I got to look forward to? Spending my life toiling in this field behind these stinking cows. And he said, I'm just so tired of the life. Well, I'm sure glad there came a day that God got me tired of the life I was living. I'm glad there came a day that God got me to the place that I realized surely there's got to be something more to life than what I've got a hold of. God's working in this young man, and Elijah come by. The word of God did not give us any indication that Elijah said one word, didn't quote a verse of scripture, didn't preach a sermon, but he took the mantle, the outer garment that he had on that was just a covering. This mantle was obviously something that was associated and affiliated with the prophets of old. I don't know if it was a type of a prayer shawl. I'm not sure about that. The scripture's not clear, doesn't tell us much about it, but I know one thing. I know it's a picture and a type of the Holy Ghost of God. And he took that shawl, he took that outer garment, that mantle, and as you walked by that young man, Brother C.L., He didn't beat him over the head. He didn't give him a handshake and an invitation. He just took that mantle and reached out and touched that young man and kept on walking. Did you know this morning there's a great difference in you having the Holy Ghost in you and having the Holy Ghost on you? I've been saved for a while. I've had the Holy Spirit of God living in me for a while. But Miss Barbara, I'm not satisfied with the Holy Spirit just living in me. I want God to be on me. I want to ask you, you say you're saved this morning. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're heaven bound with a hammer down. Have you ever had enough God on you that it's influenced anybody you ever walked by? Because it sure enough did drive this young man crazy. He said, there's something about that man. And I'm a following him. I thank God in my young life and in my young ministry as a born-again called preacher, a child of God, there are some men that came through my life with the anointing and the touch of God on them. And when they stood up to preach, it's like all the angels of heaven just stopped fluttering their wings and wanted to hear what that man said. And when he opened his mouth, it was the very oracles of God that ministered to my soul and ministered to my heart and fed me. And it was like I was just a hungry child sitting at the table eating while those men preached. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want people to know there's a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? There's folks out there that's lost this morning. They need to know there's somebody different. They need to know there's somebody somewhere got something they ain't got, and it gives them a hunger and a thirst to want it. There's been some men in my life. One of them texts me this morning. He's up in years. He's not able to hardly get out of the house. He's been at death's door for a long time. And he texts me this morning. He said, my precious wife went on to be with the Lord 6 years ago today. And he said, maybe today. He's just looking to die or be raptured out, and that's all he wants. He's ready to go. He's through. But I can tell you without any error or contradiction, there's been times that I watched the faith of that man. And I saw God move on him and use him to help mold me as a young preacher boy, just a snot-nosed preacher. I mean, I didn't hardly know my head from a hole in the ground. And some of these men that took time to love me and walk with me and be my friend. And I thank God for that. Listen, if you're saved, born of the Spirit of God, you ought to have enough of the Spirit of God about you that you can mentor some young folks, that you can be a you can disciple some other folks, that you can be a blessing, and you can rub off on them, and they may not want to be like you. I don't know whether they won't want to be like you or not, but they all know you're different. They all know you. I never met a real spirit-filled man of God that wasn't different. I mean, there's something that just, I don't mean to just get hung up in the world's vernacular, but there's some things that make a real man of God weird. They make him strange. He's just not like everybody else. He's just not interested in everything everybody else is interested in. He just lives on a different plane, lives with a different thought pattern, lives in a different world. There was one gentleman talking about giving testimony of being with Dr. Percy Ray, one of the great men of God that's already gone on. I believe he died back in the late 80s, or might have been early 90s that Dr. Ray died, but nevertheless, somebody had taken him to visit, wanted to go visit a family one time, and they went in and sat down at the kitchen table, have a cup of coffee, and just sit and visit with these folks. And he said, a few minutes later, Dr. Ray got up and wandered out of the house, and he said they sat and finished their coffee, talked a while longer, and said he finally figured out Dr. Ray wasn't coming back in. He got ready to go, told him bye, went to the car. Dr. Ray sitting in the car. He just got through. Well, I'm just telling you, sometimes folks are different for a reason. Sometimes folks live on a different level. They live on a different plane. And they're here you see this man of God, Elijah, that he came by and had that touch, that anointing of the Holy Ghost. And when he did, he touched Elisha. And Elisha went running to him, and he said, man of God, he said, you just wait. Let me go kiss my mom and daddy, and I'll be back. And Elijah looked at him and said, what have I done? He said, you go back to plow, do whatever it is you want to do. What have I done to you? You know what Elijah was saying? God was using him to test him in a way, but what Elijah was saying was, it ain't my call. It ain't me that's touched you. It's God that's touched you. It's him that you're responsible to, not me. Listen, I love you. I'm your preacher. I hope I'm your friend, but you're not responsible to me. It's God you're going to give an account to one day. And the man of God wanted to make sure, Elisha, if you're going to follow me, make sure it ain't just because you like me, or make sure it's not just my personality or my charisma that you're following. You make sure you follow God. And the word of God said that Elisha went back. And it said that he took a yoke of those oxen and he slew them. And he slew those oxen, and it said he boiled them with the implements of the oxen. That literally means that he took the yoke from off their neck, Brother Danny, and he took that wooden parts of that plow and he busted them up and he broke them up and he used them to kindle a fire to be able to cook the meat of those oxen and feed those folks. And it was a feast, and it was him saying goodbye. It was him saying, listen, I've turned my back on everything I've known. This farm is the only thing I've ever known. This is the only life I've ever known. And for the rest of my life, all I'd ever look forward to was getting up and plowing these oxen and taking care of this piece of ground. And today something's happened that has changed my life, and I'm turning my back on everything I've ever known, everything I've ever held dear in my life. I've let go, and now he's killed his cow and burned his plow. Brother Eddie ain't got nothing to go back to. I got news for you. I ain't got nothing to go back to. I didn't leave anything in this world that I need. When God saved me, God changed my life. I know there's a lot of pull. There's a lot of gravitational pull to this old world. There's a lot of folks get sucked back into a whole lot of things. But I got news for you. All the thing this world ever had for me was heartaches and pains and suffering. I hope you know and understand there's a whole lot of folks that got up this morning, that spent their night weeping bitter tears and wallowed their pillow with heartaches and sorrows because of the sin of this world, and that's all this world's got to offer you. But I sure am glad there came a day that God let me get a touch from another world that let me know there's something better than what I'd had in this world. And it didn't take me 6 months to figure out I won't let go of what I, Brother Danny, when God saved me, as far as this world is concerned, I guess the world thought I had a whole lot to give up. But I tell you what, Miss Erica, I wasn't giving up nothing. I wasn't giving up nothing. I was getting it all, buddy. I was getting it all. I'm telling you, God did something for me this world couldn't do. I'm asking you this morning, has God ever brought you to that place in your life where you were willing to give up this world and go with Jesus? The Lord Jesus said, if any man follow me and hate not mother and father and sister and brother, Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. Now that word hate does not mean hate the same way you're thinking of it. But what that word really means and what that is saying, not only implicitly, but explicitly. Can I make that word hate in a way that you'll understand this? If you was to bring in some lemon pie this morning and you was to bring in some banana pudding and say, preacher, you can have whichever one of them you want. You just can't have both of them. It ain't that I hate lemon pie. That ain't it. It's just that I choose the banana pudding over it. And that's what the Lord Jesus was saying. I don't want you to hate your mom and daddy. I just want you to choose me over them. God will bring you to a place one day you'll be at a crossroads where you're either going to choose Jesus Christ or you're going to choose this world. He'll bring you there, buddy. You're going to have to meet it one day. And for Elisha, this wasn't no big thing for him at all. He said, look, I'm going with you, man of God. You just hang out a minute. You just hang loose. Let me take care of this. And I'm sure there ain't a doubt in my mind that Elijah stood somewhere over there on the corner of the field and watched this young man go back and kiss his mom and daddy, say goodbye to them. And he killed those oxen and he burned up his implements and he cooked those oxen and he fed his friends in a farewell feast and he said, youngins, I got somewhere else I got to go. Child of God, if you're saved, if you're born of the Spirit of God, God will bring you to some crossroads in your life. I say this often, Miss Barbara, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. The Christian life, Brother Danny, is a series of new beginnings. And there comes some times that you get to living the way you've been living and walking on the level and walking on the plane you've been walking on. And God may just in his grace and tender mercy come by and touch you with a special touch. It may be a special service. It may be a special prayer meeting. It may be some special time all along with you and God locked in the bathroom somewhere. And God comes by and touches you with that mantle. And God gives you some faith. And there's something in you that says, I'm tired of living this mediocrity I've been living in. I'm tired of living, just getting by, just surviving. And I'd like to be full of the Holy Ghost of God and have some power in my life. There's been a whole lot of times God's brought me to some places that God calls me to say, look, there's some things going to have to change, and if you're going to go on with me, it's going to have to be different. There's been some times, Miss Lori, in my life that God caused us and brought us to a place. When I left Flint Hill Baptist Church, I loved those people. I'd have died for them. I loved them with all my heart, and God knows that. We'd been given a good life. I probably financially had the most money I'd ever had in my life. That church loved me. Every stitch of clothes my wife wore, the ladies in the church bought them for. I was driving a new automobile the church had given me. We were living a good life, and I had a lot going. And there came the day, Miss Sheila, that God said, you're through here. You've done everything I sent you here to do. We're going to move on. That's scary. I don't care who you are, how much faith you got. It's scary. And I run around for I don't know how long And God knew I wasn't just belaboring this point and just putting this off. I was saying, Lord, I do not want to throw away anything you give me. God, you let me know this is right. You let me know this is sure. Miss Lori out there at the end of that road, across from Butch's property, between Butch's land and Lowe's Investment Corporation, there's a place out there in the dirt on a Sunday morning, just about like this Sunday morning, beautiful sunny day. Before church, God the Holy Ghost spoke peace into my heart. He said, boy, I'm through with you here. It's time for you to leave. And if you stay, you're going to stay without me. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I've done a lot of hard things in my life, but I knew God was bringing me to that place where I had choices I had to make. You're going to stay home on the farm, you're going to plow, you're going to work that ground, or you're going to go on with God. And there'll come some times that you're going to have to make the hard choices. You're going to have to move on with God. And I tell you this morning, if you're saved, if you're born of the Spirit of God, I thank God that God's still calling preachers. God's still calling young men. One of our young men don't even live in this state, but he counts us his church, and I believe he counts me as his pastor, and I love him dearly, and I love to talk with him and counsel with him, and he's part of every service goes on. Called me the other day, said, preacher, I just needed to let you know I'd surrender to preach the gospel. There comes times that people make these choices because God touches them in a special way. There's some things that God just lets you know this is right and this is for you. This is what I've given you to do and this is where I'm taking you. And I want God to take me wherever he wants me to go, and I don't want to be so used to hanging out in the field, and I don't want to be so used to the sound of that oxen that I won't be willing to kill my cow, burn my plow, move on for the glory of God. But I'm asking you this morning, I've just poured out my heart to you this morning. Folks say they're saved, say they're born of the Spirit of God, and I know folks have been to altars and prayed prayers. We've so confused the world with making salvation this or making salvation that, and you know, did you pray this prayer and that prayer, and there was one of the most renowned evangelist, probably the most renowned Southern Baptist evangelist in that day, came through my hometown several years ago. And we went to a large auditorium and heard him preach. And one of my young preacher boys at the time that was in my youth group had heard what he had said. And he got to talking about, you know, if you didn't pray the prayer right, you're not saved. One of my young preachers called me, and he was absolutely tore up like a dollar watch. And he said, Preacher Mike, he said, you got to pray for me. You got to help me. He said, I can't remember what I prayed the night I got saved. I said, son, I hope you've been around me long enough to know it ain't your prayer that saved you. Well, what saves you? It's faith in Jesus Christ and repentance toward God. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about killing your cow and burning your plow. You see, he had already told Elijah that was in his heart. I'm going to follow you. But now he's made good on his promise. That's repentance. In the life of this young man, he followed through what he said. He said, I'm not messing around. He said, I'm not just going to make plans that one day I'm going to go follow the man of God. I'm going. And he went home and killed his cow, burned his plow. And I'm asking you this morning, there ever been a time in your life? There ever been a time in your life that God worked faith and repentance in your heart to the place that with an absolute willingness before God, you fell before him. You didn't know what to say. You didn't know what to pray. You didn't know how to articulate what you felt in your heart, but you was willing, God, whatever you want, I want you. Whatever that takes, Lord, I just want you because I just want you. I sure am glad that night 30-some-odd years ago on a raggedy couch in a single white trailer. I didn't know all the theology. I didn't know how to articulate even the thoughts of my own wicked heart. Didn't know how to pray. Didn't know what to say. And as far as I even know, the only thing I even said was, God, forgive me. But I'm sure glad that God understood that I was killing my cow and burning my plow. And I say, God, I'm so tired of this life. I ain't got nothing here. I want no more. Salvation ain't complicated, youngins. It's faith toward Christ. Repentance toward God. There's trust in Him when you're willing to let all that other stuff go. Now I realize there's a whole lot of folks that have to get broke down real bad and get way down at the bottom of the barrel. And sometimes you'll find out the bottom of the barrel's got a basement. And you got to get down real low before you get to that place. But everybody don't have to. It's just a simple childlike trust in the Lord Jesus. When He calls and gives you that invitation, and that's what happened here. Elijah didn't say a word to him. Didn't quote him a verse of scripture. He just reached out and touched him with that mantle that he had on. Kept on walking. That was the touch of God. Touched his life. You say you're saved, you're born again. You ever touched anybody's life? I mean, the Holy Spirit of God. It ain't good enough that He just lives in you. I mean, that's good. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you got the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. But that's limited in how that's going to help somebody else if he don't ever get out on you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the smearing, the anointing. I'm talking about when God, the Holy Ghost, fills you and runs out of you. And it makes everything around you come alive. I love you this morning. Where you at?